welcome everybody to episode 16 of the Mozo Media 2-Song Shot. I'm Craig Higdon, a.k.a. Stompin' Jim Hambone, and with me is...
Josh Lawrence, a.k.a. JJ Sonic.
This is the podcast that brings you songs you've probably never heard, and songs that you requested we make for you.
That's right, and today we've got some hip-hop about teaching junior high kids and a new wave pumpkin.
New wave pumpkin.
Yep. It's coming at you. Tasty and all 80s-fied, kind of.
Great. Well, hey, if you want to learn more about Mozo Media, go ahead and track us down at mozomedia.com/music. You can also send us your email song requests at music@mozomedia.com.
Yeah, you, the listener, can request to have a song made for you. You can send us the song title and what you'd like the song to sound like, and it may be made into a song that will be played on an upcoming podcast. We're going to have one for September, so Carl and I have got to get cracking. But
I'm sure you can do it.
We will somehow.
Have the requests been pouring in?
Not a huge torrent. So get those requests in. We need some new fresh blood.
Excellent. So what do we got up first today, Josh?
We have the song "Junior High" by the Ostensible Bushmen, and these guys are friends of yours, right, Craig?
Oh, absolutely. Good friends, Chris Rendy and Aaron Gardner. Known them for probably about 15 years now. Hip-hoppers, music producers, and junior high school teachers.
They're both teachers?
Well, Chris teaches multimedia production through BayVac down in San Francisco.
And then Aaron is?
Aaron teaches at a junior high school in Oakland. The name escapes me. I think it might be Jefferson or Washington. I'm not sure.
Okay. But yeah, this is a great little slice of life from a teacher's perspective. Let's take a listen.
The kid with swollen eyes always sits right up front and stares at me like I'm responsible for everything that's ever gone wrong in his whole fucked up life. When I talk to him, I soften the edges of my words with impersonality, but I can still see him flinch with every syllable like a three-legged dog hearing the sound of a car horn blaring. He slams his forehead into the desk and stays that way. The smart girl. She's bored again. She's already finished what we were supposed to do tomorrow.
I'm already finished what we were supposed to do tomorrow,
she says. Raise your hand, I say. So she raises her hand and flaps it for a while like a dying seagull. Then she holds it with her other hand to emphasize how incredibly difficult it is to do such a menial task as raising her hand. Yes, I say.
I'm bored.
You're smart, I say. Invent a cure for boredom. She sucks her teeth so hard that the sullen-eyed kid lifts up his head. She doesn't think it was very funny. The kid with the Slayer t-shirt sits next to the kid with gold fronts on his teeth. They look at each other, and for a second I can see a smile play at the corner of each of their mouths. But then the Slayer kid goes back to drawing dragons, scowling at the talons, and the gold fronts kid shakes his dreads, flashing me the remainder of that golden grin. He raises his hand. Yes, I say.
Balls,
he says. Did you just say balls?
Yeah,
he says, pulling his lips as far as he possibly can from his teeth so I can appreciate the full splendor of his $225 grill.
Balls.
You know I have to call your mom now, right? I ask. Rhetorically, I call right then and there. You know your son just said balls as loud as he could in class? I ask. The entire room hears her 5-minute rant as I have to hold the phone from my ear to make the words coming from it sound intelligible.
Hey, your brother's in the hospital!
I catch, semi-scream through the phone. I'm terribly sorry, I say, but I'm not exactly sure why that makes it okay for him to scream balls. She says. I expect the Gold Fronts kid to agree, but he just looks embarrassed. There's not even a glimmer from his lips. Yeah, I guess so, I say, and hang up. The Slayer kid, he hands me his dragon. It's eating what could either be a horse or a walrus. It says to Mr. Gardner in horribly rendered Old English letters. Only the E and the R are missing. I ran out of room, he says. It's cool, I say. It's beautiful.
I really love that song.
It's a pretty interesting slice of life, and I think it captures probably what it's like to be a junior high school teacher in Oakland fairly well.
Yeah, I mean, it could practically be a short story. Just the observation and the humor and everything is just fantastic. I love it.
Well, hey, if you want to find out more about the Ostensible Bushmen, go ahead and track them down at www.myspace.com/ostensible. And up next, a segment for the weeks when we don't have some brilliant news. Here's some
music trivia.
On September 11th, 1956, the film Rock Around the Clock was shown at the Trocadero Cinema in London, England. Teenagers leaving the theater acted wild and rowdy enough that police were summoned to break up the crowd. A reader's letter to the Times the next day argued, quote, "The hypnotic rhythm and the wild gestures have a maddening effect on the rhythm-loving age group, and the results of its impact is the relaxing of all self-control," unquote. The film was subsequently banned in several English cities for fear of teenage chaos.
Teenage chaos! You know, the 50s music is kind of just looked at as almost harmless nostalgia now, but at the time, this stuff was things that drove parents and censors absolutely mad, and you know,
I don't think there's quite the same tumult in pop music right now. Almost any sense, you know, hip hop's generally commodified. You know, rock and metal is all just they figured big music has figured out a way to package it so well that it's pretty benign.
Right. I think the only like really scary segments is the black metal guys in, was that Sweden or what, who would actually like burn churches and things like that. That was fairly recent, but yeah, they were.
But even so, you know, everybody's like, of course, that's what black metal, that's what you do with black metal music. What do you expect?
So Rock Around the Clock, don't let your kids watch it. It's dangerous stuff.
If you want to find out more music trivia, you can always head over to www.thisdayinmusic.com. Coming up next, we have a song. I'm sorry, I saw New Wave Pumpkin again.
It's a nice, you know, it's a kind of charming term of affection. I don't know if that comes, it doesn't really come through in the song at all. I'll have to warn you, but but it is a very cute title. So,
well, let's hear it.
All right. Well, first, it's by Avijit, and it's a kind of improvised jam song. That's what Avijit always did in Houston in the early 90s. So let's take a listen.
So tell me a little bit about Avijit.
It was mostly the trio of Charlie Naked, who has a lot of great ambient solo stuff as well, and Mike Switzer. Charlie would play lead guitar for the most part, and then Mike Switzer was playing bass for the most part, and I was playing drums. And then there was various people who would guess, like someone is playing an extra slide guitar on that. I think it was Justin Crane, but I'm not sure. But different people would rotate in and play. And then we ourselves would switch instruments a bunch just to mess things up. But basically, Avijit would get together and just record everything we did. And sometimes what we did would be pretty fun and sometimes not. So, but it was all documented. But it was a fun stint.
Well, great. Hey, if any of you out there want to learn more about Avijit, we'll go ahead and put a link to their stuff on our website. Now it's time for what else we're not listening to.
Yeah, the what else we're listening to segment. I went to this great nerd fest last weekend called Dragon Con in Atlanta, Georgia, and I was talking to some other podcasters there, including a guy who does a very successful music podcast called Coverville. And I was asking him about the kind of mythical, it's okay to play 30 seconds of something without getting any explicit permission or paying any royalties. And he was like, yeah,
fair use law, right?
Do what?
The fair use concept.
The fair use concept. Yes, there is such a suggestion in fair use, but it basically only is for educational use. That's the only place where it says it gives that 30-second that 30-second allowance. And I don't know if we can really get... I don't know if we can really claim that this is an educational...
I think you're selling us short, Josh.
I'm not really allowing for the great educational content that we're providing.
I don't think so. I think there were a bunch of people that didn't know a lot of stuff before listening to this podcast, and now they know a slightly larger quantity of stuff.
That's true. Well, okay, you can be my lawyer in court.
Yeah, that was great. That would be followed up quickly with bailiff arrest those two.
That's right. Start filling out the checks now.
Okay, but instead, so we can't do it. What are you listening to, Josh?
Well, first I want to say that I do want to have the segment return. I'll just start actually trying to get explicit permission. I think we could make it something where we focus on older things that we might be listening to, and I might have a better chance of getting permission to play that stuff. But well, this weekend or just this last Friday, I saw Mark Kozelek. I don't know if I'm going to say his name right, but he's Sun Kill Moon. It was a acoustic performance of his at the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco, and it was really cool. But it was so so melancholy and kind of mellow. I mean, that's what he excels at. But there were two friends of mine who actually couldn't take exactly how melancholy it was, and they had to take a little break in the lounge for a while and chat there and then come back. But he's quite a talented guitarist, and it was good stuff.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
What have you been listening to?
You know, I've started volunteering at the local community radio station here, KSKQ.org. And on Wednesday nights between 6 and 9, one of the local record store owners has two shows. One is he plays deep cuts from the 80s, and then he follows it up with Cruisin', which is soul and R&B. And this last week he did a gospel show.
Oh, wow.
Which was really interesting. You know, he went through... I did not know that Little Richard actually had a gospel period.
I think I had heard that, but I haven't heard any of it.
Yeah, it was good stuff. It was interesting, you know, and also some of the more recent Al Green stuff. You know, Al Green, of course, after having grits thrown on him by a scorned lover, decided to hot boiling grits. You know, he had like second or third degree burns. Decided to stop being a sex symbol and you know, return to religion. And so since then, he has his own church. and his own. He's still doing gospel music, and it's pretty good. I can't say I like it as much
as the soul stuff.
As the soul stuff that he was putting out in the 70s, but it's still pretty good. And you know, it's good to hear Al Green out there. I think the interesting thing is if he had continued to be a sex symbol, he probably would not have had as successful a career as, you know, because you can't be a sex symbol when you're 60 or 70, but you can still be a soul singer.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, do you want to give the does the radio station you've been working at have a website?
Sure. You can find out more about KSKQ at kskq.org.
Excellent.
Well, that about wraps up this episode of Mozo Media Music's two-song shot. Hey, remember to email us at music@mozomedia.com and visit the website www.mozomedia.com/music. Make sure you get in those song requests, folks.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Bye.